Freeze now. Ask in November. Why Sarasota stopped hiring, and what it means for Longboat, Lido, and downtown. 6 days into the job, Sarasota's new city manager did the one thing a chief executive is never supposed to do in her first month. She told her own government to stop hiring. Carrie Freleng had not yet sat through a single city commission meeting when, on June 30th, she pulled the emergency brake on filling City Hall's open positions. An extraordinary opening move, and a measure of how fast the ground had shifted beneath her. 15 miles up the quay, the tremor she was reacting to is rolling straight toward a town still digging out from the last disaster. On Longboat Quay, where $3 of every $4 the town spends, and every firefighter, police officer, and seawall those dollars pay for, ride on the property tax now in front of the voters. The same November ballot measure that spooked Sarasota into a hiring freeze threatens the money that keeps the island standing. What stopped hiring in Sarasota could, on Longboat, come for the engines, the ambulances, and the sand. The document that set it off was mundane enough. In a June 30th email to the City Commission, Freeling announced a hold on filling city staff positions at this time. She had been working, she wrote, with Deputy City Manager Jennifer Jorgensen and the Acting Human Resources Director Dominique Anderson to build what she called a quote-unquote position to fill request and justification process. Under it, any hiring manager who wants to fill a vacancy must now submit a form to the department director, laying out the expected cost, the funding source, and a written justification for why the job should be filled at all rather than left open. Searches already in motion, interviews underway, offers pending, would go forward. Everything else would wait. Nothing inside City Hall had gone wrong. The hold was a response to something happening 200 miles north in Tallahassee, and it will be decided this fall on the ballot in front of every voter in Sarasota County. I believe your decision was a necessary response to the uncertainty imposed by the property tax referendum, Mayor Debbie Trice wrote back to Freeling the same day. Thank you for your swift action. When Freeling faced the commission in person on July 6th, at the first regular meeting since she started, she described a job overtaken by events almost the moment she arrived. I wasn't expecting that within the first 48 hours of starting the job, that we would be facing one of perhaps the most significant property tax reform referendums in Florida's history, she told the board. The work of modeling the damage, she said, would have to be done carefully, in a very thoughtful and strategic surgical way. And then a line that doubles as the whole city's posture heading into November. This is not something that can be solved with the sledgehammer. A freeze in all but name. No one at City Hall is calling it a freeze. The chosen phrase, a position to fill request and justification process, is bureaucratic enough to reassure a nervous workforce, and it carries a real exception for jobs already in the pipeline. But strip the euphemism and the meaning is plain. The default answer to a vacancy is now no, and the burden falls on the manager who wants to say yes. A city that spends most of its budget on people has decided to slow the rate at which it adds them. And it has done so months before it knows whether it must. The county has been less delicate about the vocabulary. During a June 16th budget workshop, Commissioner Teresa Mast asked Kim Radke, director of the county's Office of Financial Management, how staff was handling open positions. Radke reached back more than a decade for the answer. Back in the Great Recession days, she said, quote, we had a mission-critical process, which has been reinstated, if you will. A manager who sees a need for a new employee must now clear the request first with the department director, and then, if the director agrees, send it up to the administration level to be reviewed. Any director seeking a full-time hire has to justify the need for the position, Radke said, and the sign-off comes at the highest level, that a county would dust off its recession machinery in a year when property values have never been higher tells you how seriously local governments are taking what is coming. The numbers under the freeze, the caution is not free-floating anxiety. It has figures attached. The City of Sarasota's own financial staff has estimated that the amendment, if it passes, would cut the city's property tax revenue by roughly $3.18 million in the 2027 fiscal year, with a further $2.29 million gone in 2028. The county's Office of Financial Management has told this and other newsrooms it expects to lose about $87 million in property tax revenue by the 2029 fiscal year, the point at which the amendment's second and larger tranche has fully taken hold. Rodkey walked the county commissioners through a pair of slides that put the staffing question in longer perspective. The number of full-time county employees under the commission's control, measured per 1,000 residents, stood at 6.39 back in the 2007 fiscal year, fell to a low of 5.27 in 2012 as the county clawed its way out of the last downturn, and sits at 5.5 for the coming year. Narrow the lens to the general fund, the account that holds most of the county's property tax money and pays for the sheriff, the elections office, and the departments that don't generate revenue of their own, and the ratio is lower still, 1.52 employees per 1,000 residents, down from 1.81 in 2009. It's ebbed and flowed over the years, Radke said, but it's never gone back to that pre-recession level. In other words, the county was already lean when the amendment arrived. The freeze does not trim fat. It braces a structure built close to the bone. Why the cut lands differently here? For most of Florida, the November amendment reads as a tax cut, and a generous one. For readers of this newspaper, on Longboat Key, on Lido, on Bird Key, and in the downtown Sarasota towers that have filled the bayfront, it reads as something more complicated, because the relief it advertises is a relief most of them cannot claim. The amendment's central promise is an expanded homestead exemption, rising from today's $50,000 to $150,000 in 2027, and $250,000 in 2028. A homestead, under Florida law, must be an owner's permanent primary residence. By the county property appraiser's count, only about a third of Longboat Key's homes and condominiums, roughly 2,000 of them, meet that test. The other two-thirds are second and third homes, investment condominiums, and the long-standing contingent of Canadians and other winter residents who have summered up north and wintered on the Gulf for generations. For every one of those owners, the exemption the governor is marketing as a break for every Floridian is worth precisely nothing. The pattern repeats in the seasonal condominiums of Lido and in a good share of the downtown high-rises. What those owners do get is the amendment's quieter half, a tightening of the annual cap on non-homestead assessment increases from 10% to 5%. That is a genuine benefit on an island this expensive. But it is also the crux of the problem. Where non-homesteaded property is not the exception, but the clear majority of the tax base, the amendment hands its headline cut to the homesteaded few, slows the growth a local government can draw from everyone else, and leaves the same roughly $14 million public safety bill sitting on Longboat's books. Should the town, or the city, or the county be forced to close that gap, the likeliest targets are the very owners who got no exemption to begin with. Second homeowners, foreign nationals, businesses and renters, reached through higher fees and special assessments. Town officials have offered one consolation, and it is a real one. Because so few of Longboat's homes are homesteaded, the expanded exemption erodes less of the island's base than it would in a town of year-round primary residence. Longboat, as the town's own red has it, would be in, quote, relatively better shape than some other communities. But that reassurance carries its own sting. The same low homestead share that shields the town's revenue is exactly what exposes its people. The exemption spares the base precisely because most owners can't claim it, and those same owners are the ones a squeezed government looks to first. Longboat comes out comparatively safe on the revenue side, and comparatively exposed on the who pays side, which is a comfort only if you own the town rather than a home in it. Longboat's outgoing town manager, Howard Tipton, has put the arithmetic more bluntly than any consultant. Eliminating a revenue source doesn't eliminate the cost, he has said. You've got to find another way to pay for it. And the services on the line are not abstractions to this readership. They are the beach renourishment that stands between a Lido condominium and the Gulf. A project residents at the south end of the island have already told the city was left short, with groin rocks newly exposed months after the sand went down. They are the fire rescue crews and the police who answer calls on the key. They are the storm resilience a barrier island community relearns the value of after every season. The hiring freeze is the first visible edge of a squeeze that, on this coast, falls first on the people the tax cut was never designed to help. A shield for the police, none for the fire. There is a further twist that turns the squeeze from arithmetic into a trap, one written into state law. Since 2021, Florida has made it legally perilous for a city to cut its police budget. Under a provision of the anti-riot law, Governor DeSantis championed that year, and which the legislature rewrote in 2023 after six cities sued over home rule. A municipality that proposes trimming its law enforcement operating budget by more than 5% hands a weapon to anyone who wants to stop it. A state attorney, or even a single dissenting member of the city commission, can petition the state's Division of Administrative Hearings, where an administrative law judge decides whether the cut would thin the ranks of officers, gut a public safety program, or leave the department short on equipment, and can order the reduction reversed. Fire rescue enjoys no such protection. The shield, by its own terms, guards law enforcement and law enforcement alone. Read that against a longboat budget, and the bind comes into focus. The town's single most expensive line is not its police force, but its fire rescue department. Roughly $9.4 million a year, more than double what it spends on police. If the amendment drains the revenue that pays for all of it, the law effectively steers the town toward the one door it can close without a fight, the firehouse. The same logic runs 15 miles south in the city of Sarasota and in cities across the state. Police budgets braced by statute and fire, parks and libraries left to absorb whatever the shortfall demands. Sarasota County sits a step apart, its sheriff holding a separate, older route to contest a budget cut, but the 5% shield is a city and town rule, and it lands squarely on Sarasota and Longboat. A closed list of allowable spending that puts public safety first, as the amendment does not conjure new money. It only decides, in advance, where the shortfall is allowed to fall. What Longboat has done, and what it hasn't, Longboat Key has not announced a hiring freeze of its own. It is, at the moment, barely in session. The town commission is on recess through July and August, and its next real reckoning with the budget comes in September. But the absence of a headline should not be mistaken for the absence of a response. The town has, in fact, been holding the line on its most expensive hires for more than a year, not because of the amendment, but because of the hurricanes. When Tipton presented what he called a storm-weary budget last year, the police department's request to add an officer was deferred, and the fire department's request for two new firefighters a year, over 3 years, six positions in all, was put on hold while the north end of the island rebuilt. Personnel already consumes roughly 80% of the town's general fund spending, and property taxes supply the overwhelming share of what the town collects. Mayor Deborah Williams pegs the town's ad valorem revenue at about $18.5 million of a roughly $24 million general fund, some three-quarters of the whole. There was never much slack to give. The amendment now threatens the base beneath a payroll already being watched line by line. And where Sarasota's instinct has been to stop spending, Longboat's has, so far, run the other way. In the town's charter-required preliminary budget for the coming year, staff floated nudging the operating millage up from 1.9600 to 1.99999 mills. A move Tipton calculated would raise roughly $380,000 a year, earmarked not for new programs, but for the fund balance itself, a cushion against the very uncertainty now bearing down. Commissioner Gary Coffin made the case without hedging. An increase, he wrote, is not a luxury but an absolute priority. If the town is to keep providing, quote, the premier community and exceptional service residents have come to expect, particularly in this politically uncertain state and federal times. It is a striking counterpoint to the freeze 15 miles south, one government bracing by hiring less, the other weighing whether to ask its owners, most of whom, again, will see no exemption to pay a little more into the reserve. Whether the increase survives to the September budget hearings is a separate question. For now, it is a proposal, and Tipton has credited department heads with already trimming costs below where the numbers stood at the May workshop. On the politics, the town has been anything but passive. Two commissioners wrote directly to Tallahassee as the special session convened. Commissioner Penny Gold urged a legislator to reject the measure outright, citing the finding that has become the opposition's rallying statistic, that 85 Florida cities could not fund public safety at current levels, even if they cut every other service, and closing with a line as blunt as any in the file, Florida's property tax system already works. Mayor Williams wrote separately and at greater length, calling the compressed, 3-day process, political theater, warning that the plan will cripple or bankrupt a number of cities and counties across the state, and arguing that the question was not just a financial issue but also an ethical one. Commissioner B.J. Bishop carried the town's case to Washington on a lobbying fly-in and has been steering colleagues toward the Florida League of Cities briefings, including a league presentation on the referendum at the Minnesota League of Cities as the opposition organizes. And Finance Director Sue Smith quietly filed the town's annual financial report with the state on deadline, the unglamorous bookkeeping a fiscally exposed government cannot afford to get wrong. The resistance has spread beyond town hall. Ken Schneier, who stepped down as Longboat's mayor in March, has taken up the cause through a bipartisan island group called Miracle on the Key, which he says has, quote, reached consensus that the amendment should be rejected, and has drafted talking points urging voters to do the same. When residents of an island this fiscally conservative, a place that reflexively resists spending of any kind, begin organizing to defend a tax, it is worth noticing what they think is at stake. A new manager walks into the squeeze. Longboat will meet the November vote under new management. On June 22nd, the town commission voted unanimously to hire George Landry, the St. Lucie County administrator, as the town's 12th manager, on the recommendation of Tipton, who is retiring after a 45-year career in Florida local government. Landry, a retired Army First Sergeant who came home from Iraq with a Purple Heart and 2 Bronze Stars, and who steered St. Lucie County through Hurricane Milton, does not start until September 14th. His arrival is exquisitely timed to the crisis. He will walk into town hall in the same weeks the commission is adopting a budget it must build without knowing the outcome of the vote, and roughly 7 weeks before that vote is held. The mantra he repeated throughout his interviews, "Keep Longboat Longboat," will be tested immediately against a ballot measure that could force exactly the kind of change he promised to resist. His first budget cycle may be the hardest the town has run in a decade. The same envelope, relief on one line, a new charge on the next. For Longboat's readers, the sharpest irony is already in the mail. On June 22nd, the same afternoon it hired Landry, the commission voted 6-0 to adopt its canal navigation maintenance program, a roughly $9 million effort to dredge all 88 of the island's silted canals, funded by a new non-ad valorem assessment of $620 per benefit unit that will land on November property tax bills. That is the tax shift the counties keep warning about, rendered in a single envelope. A canal front owner will open a November bill carrying a fresh $620 charge on one line at the very moment the state is asking, a few lines up, whether property taxes should be cut. Relief on one line, a brand new charge on the next. The town, for its part, has been hunting outside money with real success. Through Representatives Vern Buchanan and Greg Stube, Longboat has locked 2 grants into the House's FY27 Community Project funding tables. $3 million for a Gulf of Mexico Drive corridor study, and $700,000 for a Sarasota Bay restoration that would beneficially reuse sediment dredged from those same canals. It is the reflex of a government that can feel its own base narrowing. When the local well runs low, the search for other people's money begins in earnest. The freeze is the tell. Governments do not stop hiring over a maybe, unless the maybe is big enough to reshape the budget, and this one is. For the reader, on Longboat, on Lido, on Bird Key, or in a downtown condominium, most of whom will get little or nothing from the exemption at the center of it all. The empty desk at City Hall is the first plain sign of a question that won't be answered until the fall, and a bill that, one way or another, is already looking for them.